Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, December 18th. And coming up this hour,
equities in Europe and Asia fall after yesterday's sell-off in U.S. stocks.
S&P futures show signs of stabilizing as the dollar weakens.
And oil extends declines as concerns surface about growing U.S. supplies.
Michael Flynn isn't expected to get jail time today when he's sentenced for lying to the FBI. And former CBS CEO Les Moonves won't get his $120 million severance. I'm Pat Carroll. That's straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. An embarrassing loss for the Knicks, blown out at home by lowly Phoenix. A win for the Islanders and in Monday Night Football for the New Orleans Saints.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. U.S. futures are stabilizing as stocks in Europe and Asia fall. It is now 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures up 9 points. That's up 0.4%. The Dow futures are up 79 points, up 0.3%. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures this morning, 30 points higher. That is up 0.5%. The VIX is down by 0.8%. Volatility at 24.32. We have right now dollar weakness across the board. The euro 113.77. That's up 0.3% against the U.S. dollar. The yen at 112.39. That's up 0.4%. 10-year yield in the U.S. 2.82% as the price increases by 0.8. And NYMEX crude down $1.57. Down 3% at 48.31. And that is a Bloomberg data check. Nathan.
Well, John, yesterday's sell-off saw the S&P 500 fall by 2%, and stocks in Asia followed suit after a much-anticipated speech from Chinese President Xi Jinping failed to announce new policy reforms. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Asian stocks hit their lows of the day about an hour after Xi spoke in Beijing, while the on- and offshore currencies rose against the dollar. The omission of any new reform or stimulus steps contrasts with forecasts by some economists that announcements would be made Tuesday. The CSI 300 closed lower by over 1%. Yen strength, seeing the Nikkei 225 close down 1.8% in Tokyo, while the broader topics closed at an 18-month low. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks a lot. China appears to be facing a bigger than expected slowdown next year. That's according to Charlene Xu, a senior partner at Autonomous Research in Hong Kong.
We are looking at a much bigger slowdown than people are realizing for next year. And the key reason being is we have our own measure of credit. We take the TSF and we add stuff in that we know they're leaving out. And that has absolutely collapsed this year.
Charlene Xu made her name warning about the dangers of China's credit binge. She sees GDP growth in the country slowing to the upper 5% range next year.
Crude is taking another leg lower amid concerns about surging U.S. oil supply. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports from Dubai.
When you look to the U.S., the amount of shale production that's coming out of there and just the prospect of continued growth and key U.S. shale plays, I think, is a really big thing that's weighing on investor sentiment and on the minds of investors as they look forward to 2019. And we got the EIA's drilling productivity report, which it puts out once a month on Mondays. And what that forecast shows is that U.S. shale production will actually top 8 million barrels a day this month for the very first time. That figure will climb even further to 8.17 million barrels a day in January.
And checking oil prices right now, West Texas Intermediate is below $50 a barrel and then some, down $1.59 or 3.2% at $48.29 a barrel. Brent is down 3% or $1.81 at $57.80 per barrel.
And stocks in Europe are also falling this morning. Here with the latest, Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik live in London. Seb, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Oil and gas stocks leading those declines in Europe. The benchmark Stoxx 600 down about 0.25%, with over half the sectors in the red. Autos lead the gains, however, but also in the green is retail, which plummeted yesterday after ASOS warned that Christmas shopping got off to a disastrous start. European stocks are cheap, with valuations at a five-year low, but the risks remain from Italy to Brexit and beyond. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salik, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. All eyes are on the the Federal Reserve today as policymakers begin a two-day meeting in Washington. Most economists expect the central bank to hike rates by 0.25%. But billionaire Stanley Druckenmiller tells Bloomberg that would be the wrong move.
I don't quite get it. I got it 3 or 4 months ago, but now it looks like the markets are warning. I'm not suggesting the Fed cut. I'm just talking about not hiking rates.
Druckenmiller joins President Trump in urging the Fed to stand pat. The president slammed the central bank again yesterday for even considering another rate increase.
And we are looking at a possible deal in the oil space. Bloomberg News has learned Shell is in negotiations to buy Endeavor Energy Resources for about $8 billion. That's roughly half as much as the Texas oil producer was expected to fetch when it first put itself on a selling block earlier this year.
There are calls for Facebook to change its top management. A collection of 31 civil rights groups is asking CEO Mark Zuckerberg to step down as chairman. The organizations also want Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg to leave the board entirely.
And shares of Oracle up 6% after a strong sales forecast for the current quarter. The world's second largest software maker expects revenue to increase 2 to 4% thanks to greater customer demand for Oracle's cloud-based computing.
Now, today we get earnings from Micron Technology after the close of U.S. trading. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say Micron's earnings may come in better than feared because while it is facing a range of near-term impediments, weak second-half sentiment likely already reflects most of this. The analysts also say tariffs may hurt gross margin by 50 to 100 basis points in the first quarter. Release of the report comes as Micron shares trade at the low of the year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Charlie. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures 9 points higher after yesterday's sell-off, up 0.4% this morning. The Dow futures up 82 points. That's up 0.4. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, again, up 29 points. That is up almost 0.5% this morning. And the euro, 113.79, up 0.3% against the U.S. dollar. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. It is 5:07 now on Wall Street, and Pat Carroll's here to give us the latest world and national news. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. Former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn will be sentenced today for pleading guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with Russia during the transition. Flynn is expected to avoid prison time because of his cooperation with federal prosecutors. President Trump has asked a federal appeals court to put on hold a Maryland District of Columbia lawsuit accusing him of profiting from his presidency so he can appeal the trial judge's denial of his request to have the case thrown out. The president is accused of reaping profits from his Washington hotel at the expense of taxpayers in violation of the Constitution's emoluments clauses. A partial government shutdown looms at the end of the week unless the president and Congress can make a deal over his proposed $5 billion border wall. Republican Senator John Kennedy says if there is a deal, he doesn't know about it.
If the White House has a plan, they're keeping it to themselves.
The Trump administration will move forward with plans to distribute a second round of payments to farmers impacted by the trade war with China. In July, the administration announced that it would deliver as much as $12 billion in aid to farmers after Beijing slapped retaliatory tariffs on U.S. agricultural products, including 25% duties on soybeans. Longtime Hollywood mogul Les Moonves is being denied a $120 million severance payment by the board of CBS, which says an internal review found grounds to terminate for cause over sexual misconduct accusations. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Once a hugely influential entertainment industry leader who brought ratings gold with shows ranging from The Big Bang Theory to Survivor, Moonves fell swiftly to a string of accusations from women amid the Me Too movement. Before agreeing to step down in September, he had condemned such conduct in an interview with Variety late last year.
I think it's important that a company's culture will not allow for this.
CBS now says Moonves flouted company policies and failed to comply with its probe. While he still denies any non-consensual relations, his lawyer did not say directly if Moonves will challenge the decision in court. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Pat, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
They think the Knicks aren't favored to win all that often. They were last night at home against the Phoenix Suns, a team with only 6 wins on the year. And yet the Suns won in a rout, 128-110. That's because they won the third quarter over David Fizdale's team, 41-17.
We fall into the same thing, one quarter. We have a deflated quarter where we don't... We don't do the same things that we do for the other three quarters. And it always comes back to bite us. So it's just something we got to continue to try to figure out as a group and keep working at it where we can sustain effort for 48 minutes.
Just the 7th win of the year for the Suns. They got 38 points from Devin Booker. They shot 80% from the field in that third quarter. Knicks still with just 9 wins on the year. They got 32 in the loss from Emmanuel Mudiay. Islanders beginning a 4-game road trip. They did it with a 4-1 win at Colorado. Monday Night Football, much lower scoring than expected. New Orleans went to 12-2 on the year, beat Carolina 12-9. The Panthers got a halfback option pass for touchdown from Christian McCaffrey, but got only a safety after that. The Saints' only touchdown came in the fourth quarter from Alvin Kamara. Saints are in good shape to be the 1 seed in the NFC playoffs. And Drew Brees in his career, 5-0 at home in the postseason and 1-5 on the road. Looks like the Panthers will miss the postseason. They were looking good at 6-2. They've now lost 6 in a row. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And in sports news from across the pond, breaking sports news, the manager of UK soccer team Manchester United is leaving? Yeah. Team says a new caretaker manager will be appointed soon for the rest of the current season while the club conducts a thorough recruitment process for a new full-time manager. Man U, looking for a new man on the sidelines. Right now, futures on Wall Street looking for gains after yesterday's 2% slide for the S&P 500. S&P futures right now up 9 points. That's a gain of nearly 0.4%. Dow futures also nearly 0.4% higher, or 89-point gain. NASDAQ futures up 31 points. That's almost 0.5% higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Tuesday morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is now 5:17 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now up 9 points. That's up 0.4%. The Dow futures, they're up 79 points. That's up 0.3%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now 30 points higher. That's up 0.5%. The equity futures in the U.S. showing signs of stabilizing, but not enough to prevent declines across Europe and Asia. The rest of the world playing catch-up to the rout in American stocks yesterday. A Treasury, gold, Japanese yen advancing. They're all signs of a risk-off mood in the rest of the world. And now to the disappointment of a lot of investors, the Chinese President Xi Jinping offered no fresh commitments to open or stimulate the world's second biggest economy. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more of what's going on around the world, let's check in with Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, John. Michael Flynn will be sentenced today for lying to the FBI, but is not expected to get jail time because of his cooperation with prosecutors. Former CBS CEO Les Moonves won't get his $120 million severance package after CBS's board says he violated company policy and was uncooperative with a sexual misconduct investigation. With a government shutdown looming, the president and Congress are still at an impasse over a border wall. In sports, the Saints beat the Panthers in Monday Night Football. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to Phoenix, the Warriors beat Memphis, and on the ice, the Islanders topped Colorado. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Pat, thank you. It is 5:19 now on Wall Street, and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined on this Tuesday morning by Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. And Michael, I wonder after all the recent sessions of slides we've seen in global equities, whether risk-off might be an understatement at this point.
Yeah, it's certainly, I think it's more Scrooge than Santa rally at the moment, yeah. Nathan. Asia markets finished lower. US stocks at their lowest levels in 14 months, and obviously the lead-in for Europe has been similarly negative, though I would say that we are off the lowest levels of the day. We're indulging in a little bit of a rebound, but it's certainly not significant. The DAX is slightly higher now. It did open lower. FTSE 100 down 0.3. It was down 1% at one point. So we're getting a bit of a bounce back, and I think that's being reflected a little bit in US futures. But there's not really that much going through at the moment. It's all eyes, really, I think, on tomorrow's Fed meeting, given the comments from President Trump.
Yeah, let's get into that just a little bit. How much does political rhetoric weigh on what the Fed could decide tomorrow?
Well, I think it would be a massive surprise if they didn't raise rates tomorrow, because I think we'd be entitled to ask what has changed from now and October. And really, if you look at the data in the US economy, it does appear to suggest that ultimately not much has changed. That being said, the yield curve is a worry. And ultimately, I think while we could get a hike tomorrow, I think the Fed is going to have its work cut out to really, I think, manage the message with respect to its outlook for 2019. And for me, I think that while President Trump has a point, I think the Fed is boxing itself into a corner, because we have got significant concerns about Chinese growth, European growth, potential inversion of the yield curve. And I actually wouldn't be surprised to see the Fed cut rates a year from now, given the fact that we could see a significant slowdown start to seep into the U.S. economy in 2019.
You think that could continue to be the case if the global economy continues to slow down, even if the U.S. economy continues to grow in divergence with the rest of the global economy, as we've seen?
I think that's unlikely. I think a lot of the rebound in the U.S. economy that we've seen over the past 12 months has been as a result of those tax cuts that we saw at the end of January. I think once the sugar rush from them starts to diminish, then we could well see a significant slowdown. Now, what will help, I think, on the margins is the declines that we're seeing in oil prices. I think that will help consumer spending as we head into the first part of next year. But I think it will become apparent, I think, in the absence of any agreement on trade between the US and China and concerns about the political situation in Europe, that ultimately we've probably seen as good as it gets, and that the outlook could well darken further after the first quarter of 2019. I don't think we're there yet, but I certainly don't think what we're seeing in terms of weaker inflation is going to help the yield curve. And we're certainly seeing that US 10-year is now around about 2.5 basis points down at 2.83%. So certainly the bond markets are pricing in lower inflation and potentially a slower pace of rate rises going forward.
How do you explain, just broadly, the signals we're getting from the market, essentially telling the Fed, hold off, when we have seen, for the most part, pretty strong economic data? How do you explain that divergence?
Yeah, you can sort of explain it in the context of the global economy, not so much the U.S. economy. I think what the markets are looking at is they're looking at U.S. growth in the context of a significant fiscal boost at the beginning of 2018. They don't think that is going to be a story for 2019, and ultimately the U.S. economy will start to converge with the rest of the global economy after diverging for most part of this year. And I think that is what bond markets are reflecting. They're reflecting a change from divergence to convergence. And I think what you're seeing at the moment with respect to US markets and is a symptom of that.
In about the last 30 seconds here, is there a chance that the Fed in its messaging tomorrow could give the market a little bit more clarity in terms of 2019 and perhaps, lowering the volatility we've seen of late?
I don't think they can do much in terms of lowering the volatility, but I certainly think in terms of messaging, they can give a much clearer idea of what their thinking is with respect to the pace of rate rises for 2019. Because if you look at what the bond markets are saying about the pace of rate hikes next year. It doesn't match what the dot plots were from the November meeting. So there needs to be some form of symmetry coming in around those two divergent indicators.
CMC Markets Chief Market Analyst Michael Hewson. Michael, always good to get your insights, especially as the head of Fed heads into its two-day rate-setting meeting later on today. Futures on Wall Street pointing to a modestly higher open on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers during the Season of Adventure sales event now through January 2nd.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher, while Europe's Stoxx 600 is down 0.2%. Equities in Asia fell about 1% after a much-anticipated speech from the Chinese President Xi Jinping did little to excite investors. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
President Xi did not announce any new initiatives in the speech. He did not directly address the trade war with the United States, but he did reaffirm China's commitment to the multilateral global trading system. The speech commemorated the 40th anniversary of opening up in China. Did it offer any hints about future policy? No. And from that standpoint, it was disappointing. The speech lauded China's achievements in lifting people out of hunger, shortage, and poverty. And from that standpoint, it was very much a propaganda discourse about the Communist Party's contributions. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Oil is taking another leg lower amid concerns about surging U.S. output. The government predicts higher American supplies, while uncertainty persists over the effectiveness of OPEC cuts and checking prices. Now, West Texas Intermediate is down 3% or $1.49, trading at $48.39 a barrel, while the international benchmark Brent is down $1.67 at $57.92.
And we're looking at a possible deal in the oil space. Bloomberg News has learned that Shell is in negotiations to buy Endeavor Energy Resources for about $8 billion.
All eyes are on the Federal Reserve as policymakers begin a two-day meeting in Washington. Chris Ralph is chief investment officer at St. James Place Management.
So what I think they're going to do, hike tomorrow, but it's going to be a dovish hike, and they're going to communicate that dovish hike through the dot plots.
And it is exceedingly rare for the Fed to raise rates when stocks are this weak. If they do hike, it'd be the first time in this bad of a market since 1994.
And at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, the U.S. government issues data on housing starts. Economists forecast a modest increase. A preview from Vinnie Del Giudice.
The property market has been tripped up by the highest mortgage rates in almost a decade. In October, starts of new single-family homes declined for a second month, though apartment construction picked up. Building permits, a gauge of future activity, also dropped in October, falling for the second time in 3 months. Looking ahead, mortgage rates will probably move higher as the Federal Reserve continues tightening. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures in the U.S. pointing to a higher open. The S&P E-mini futures, 11 points higher. That's up 0.4. Dow futures, 93 points higher. That's up 0.4. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, up 34 points, up 0.5%. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:33 now on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, Nathan. Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn will be sentenced today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller has recommended no jail time because of Flynn's extraordinary cooperation with prosecutors. But the run-up to the sentencing has exposed some raw tensions over an FBI interview in which he lied about his Russian contacts. His attorneys have suggested that investigators discouraged him from having an attorney present. Well, now the special counsel, acting on court order, has made public FBI agents' notes summarizing the interview. It says Flynn was told the identities of the interviewing agents as well as the nature of the interview. Sentencing scheduled for later today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Fired FBI Director James Comey is blasting the GOP over President Trump's attacks on federal law enforcement. After a second closed-door meeting with congressional committees, Comey urged Republicans to take a tougher stand on controversies surrounding the president.
At some point, someone has to stand up, and in the face of fear of Fox News, fear of their base, fear of mean tweets, stand up for the values of this country and not slink away into retirement, but stand up and speak the truth.
CBS has announced that former CEO Les Moonves will not get a $120 million severance payment. The New York Times reports an investigation found Moonves destroyed evidence and lied to investigators looking into sexual misconduct allegations. A coalition of states defending the Affordable Care Act is asking the federal judge who struck it down last week to clarify that it remains in effect while the case makes its way through the legal system. Ohio Governor John Kasich says he's concerned that millions of Americans could lose coverage.
As of right now, the program continues. But look, anytime there is a threat of people losing their health care, it's like a cloud over their heads.
Four different companies have rocket launches scheduled today. Elon Musk, SpaceX, Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin, France's Ariane Space, and United Launch Alliance, the joint venture between Boeing and Lockheed Martin. If the weather holds up and there are no last-minute technical issues, it'll be the first time so many rockets will fly on a single day. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
Nathan, the Knicks' 23rd loss of the season, perhaps the most embarrassing. Phoenix came to the Garden tied for the NBA's worst record, and then they outscored the Knicks in the third quarter 41-17. The Suns won 128-110 with Devin Booker scoring 38 points. Emmanuel Mudiay had 32 for the Knicks, who were without top scorer Tim Hardaway. But it's hard to believe his presence would have changed the outcome. The coach, David Fizdale.
And they are fast. All those guys can jump, dribble, pass, shoot. We're definitely depleted, but I don't want to make that an excuse for the game. You know, obviously we played a great first half. We just couldn't duplicate that. So injuries are a part of it. I don't necessarily want to put it on that. The guys that played are good enough to play to help us win.
Also last night, the Warriors with an easy win over Memphis. Islanders won 4-1 at Colorado. They continue the road trip tonight at Arizona, while the Rangers will host Anaheim and the Devils welcome in Toronto. Monday Night Football, Carolina scored first on a 50-yard pass thrown by running back Christian McCaffrey. Saints got a couple of field goals, and then finally, fourth quarter, Alvin Kamara with their first and only touchdown. They went for two. It was actually returned for two by the Panthers, but that was it. New Orleans won a surprisingly low-scoring game, 12-9. And the Saints now an NFL best 12-2 on the season. Here's Drew Brees.
You make the plays at the end of the game to win the game, right? Defensively, we did, absolutely. Offensively, we put together a couple nice drives to go down and get a touchdown and really should have had points there at the end. You know, unfortunately, there was a critical mistake there, but, you know, really put ourselves in position to win that game, go and win that game in the fourth quarter. And that's what it's all about. You know, that's what the great teams find a way to do, despite what happens in the previous three quarters or maybe the mistakes that were made prior to that. Just making the plays you need to make to win the game.
One more win, New Orleans clinches home field in the playoffs. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is Bitcoin. Also in this week's edition, how donor-advised funds are making their way to elite university endowments. Janet Lauren wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You give your money to a university that you're typically affiliated with. You get an immediate tax deduction, and the charitable arms of, you know, these investment firms will help you. And then you give away the money as you see fit, and you don't have to do it immediately. You could do it over time.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com. Or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 now on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's John Metaxas.
Good morning, Nathan. Google's planned expansion of its New York City presence is likely to accelerate changes in Manhattan's Hudson Square neighborhood and cement New York's status as a hub of technology. Its newly announced $1 billion campus south of Houston Street on the far west side will allow it to double its workforce in the city to more than 14,000 over the next decade. On the heels of the announcement that Connecticut's two casinos both reported their fifth consecutive month of year-over-year gambling declines, the Massachusetts Gaming Commission says MGM Springfield, just over the Connecticut border, reported lower earnings in November than October and September, its first 2 months of operation. The two Connecticut casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun, say the entry of MGM to the market has impacted their profits. And New Jersey is considering renewing financial subsidies to its horse racing industry. A bill that passed the state Senate yesterday would appropriate $20 million to help racing at Monmouth Park, Freehold Raceway, and the Meadowlands Racetrack. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm John Metaxas. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. T-Mobile has cleared a crucial regulatory hurdle for its takeover of Sprint.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing has authorized a record $20 billion share buyback program.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Jose Mourinho's departure from Manchester United.
This is Joan Doniger telling WIOD listeners in Miami about the busiest day ever for private space launches.
I'm Steve Potaskin on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about a judge declaring Sumner Redstone incompetent.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A morning where futures are pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it's 5:47 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. U.S. equity index futures pointing to a mild recovery after the S&P 500 slid to a 14-month low. We have Asian and European shares falling amid plunging oil prices. There's also disappointment over Chinese President Xi Jinping's speech. The dollar weakening, the yen and gold climbing, while demand for treasuries setting the 10-year yield sliding right now. It is at 2.82%, the price up by 7/32. Copper leading declines for industrial metals. And right now, the S&P futures up 7, that's up 0.3%. The Dow futures up 62 points, that's up 0.3%. The Nasdaq E-mini futures 22 points higher, up 0.4%. Dollar weakness again across the board, the euro 113.86, that's up 0.3. The yen 112.36, that is up 0.4% against the greenback. And sterling 126.49, up 0.2% against the dollar. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, with more of what's going on around the world, here's Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, John. After cooperating with prosecutors, former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn is expected to avoid jail time when he's sentenced today for lying to the FBI. Flynn's lawyers say investigators discouraged him from having an attorney present. CBS's former CEO Les Moonves won't get his $120 million severance package. Moonves resigned after accusations of sexual misconduct. The Times says Moonves destroyed evidence and lied to investigators. In sports, the Saints beat the Panthers in Monday Night Football. In the NBA, the Knicks lost to Phoenix. The Warriors beat Memphis. And on the ice, the Islanders topped Colorado. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Pat, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. We're joined now by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. And Christina, as we've been tracking the volatility in the market over the last, it feels like a couple months, it seems like we've been coming to the same round of catalysts that could be sparking all these sell-offs. We've seen everything from the U.S.-China trade dispute to concerns about Federal Reserve interest rate hikes. What do you see behind this? I mean, is there something new here?
There is nothing new here. But really, since the start of October, what we've seen is fears becoming tangible, particularly around trade. Recall that at the start of October, we had the IMF come out and downgrade growth estimates, not just for the long term, but for 2019, and not just for China, but for the U.S., for the global economy, partially due to the growing trade wars. And so then, of course, we got earnings season and saw companies like Fastenal mention that their supply chains are being disrupted by trade. Heard from a number of companies that said input costs have increased because of tariffs. And so the reality of trade wars and the damage they could do became very tangible.
So you're talking about the reality of trade wars in terms not just of equity valuations, but the impact on the Chinese economy as well, right? I mean, we've seen a pretty weak economic data coming out of China.
Absolutely. It's certainly impacting China, but I think conventional wisdom suggested that China would be hit harder than the U.S., and the reality is that the U.S. can't go unscathed either.
How so? What makes you say that?
Well, because it is impacting, for example, earnings. It is impacting supply chains. And if it lasts long enough, it will have an impact on the consumer because it will drive up costs for a number of items. And that will reduce the amount that consumers can spend on other things.
And as, I guess, the Chinese president sort of digs in his heels here, in terms of whether he might impose some reforms, what signal does that give the markets in terms of where this could go from here?
Well, it suggests that the situation could deteriorate. There had been a lot of hope coming out of that G20 meeting, especially when China announced a few small concessions, including rolling back the newly imposed tariffs, that China was ready to be very conciliatory. But I never expected that to happen because I didn't see any strong reasons why China should make concessions.
Is there a chance that we could see a lift for the markets from the Federal Reserve as it heads into its rate-setting meeting this week?
Oh, there's certainly a chance we could see it. In fact, I think markets are looking to the Fed to throw them a life preserver. I believe that could be the only catalyst that could drive stocks higher from here going into the end of the year. The Fed has an enormous amount of power, but it has a very delicate balancing act because it seems a fait accompli that it will raise rates this week.
Yeah, I mean, so how can the Fed give that signal to the markets if it does go ahead as expected with that Fed rate hike?
Well, interestingly, Mario Draghi was able to do something like this last week with the ECB announcement, ending QE, but sounding a lot more dovish in terms of being forward-looking. And that's what we need to hear from the Fed. Now, interestingly, there are a few other things the Fed could do. For example, it could just raise rates 12.5 basis points. Now, that is a complete outlier, but it was a suggestion made a few years ago, actually, by Vice Chair Stan Fisher, as the Fed was beginning to tighten, that maybe that would be a good way to ease into it. And so certainly that could be an option, although I think that's pretty remote. The other is that the Fed could announce an alteration, essentially a dialing down of balance sheet normalization. That's really the 800-pound gorilla in the room that arguably is impacting markets even more than rate hikes. And then, of course, also changing its language in the statement to suggest a much higher hurdle for future rate hikes.
All right, well, we'll have to wait and see what the Fed does as the meeting gets underway today and, of course, get that decision from the Federal Reserve on whether we will see a final rate hike for 2018 at 2 p.m. Wall Street time tomorrow. It's Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Always good to get your insights. Thanks so much for being here, John.
All right, Nate, thanks. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Potosk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A photographer is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to delineate when two pictures are merely similar and when one is a ripoff. The photographer has accused Nike of stealing his 1984 picture of Michael Jordan to create its Jumpman logo. Two environmental groups are suing the EPA to force action to clean up polluted air in Alaska's interior. And Customs and Border Protection and the Treasury Department are previewing revised rules to simplify the process for importers to get refunds of duties paid on imported products that are then exported.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's get more on that federal judge ruling that Obamacare is unconstitutional. This is a decision that will need to survive review by higher courts to have any impact in the Affordable Care Act. For more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with Timothy Jaws, professor at Washington and Lee School of Law.
Well, the individual mandate was the provision of the Affordable Care Act that required people to either have health insurance or fit into an exception or pay a tax. And in immediately as the law was signed, it was challenged with the argument that Congress had no authority to require people to buy a product. And the Supreme Court ultimately agreed with that after a couple of years of litigation. But what the Supreme Court said was Congress can't do that, but what Congress can do is to give people the choice of either being insured or paying a tax, and that's what Congress did, and that's okay. Congress does have the power to tax. Judge O'Connor in Texas says now that since Congress in 2017 reduced the amount of the tax to zero, there's no longer a tax, and therefore the mandate is unconstitutional, and you're taking a huge jump. The entire 900 pages, titles, hundreds of sections of the law all depend on the individual mandate, and therefore the whole law goes away. He's basically wrong at every step of his logic, but right now that's his judgment, and the country's going to have to figure out how to deal with it.
So 17 Democrat-led states have intervened in the lawsuit, and they're going to appeal the decision to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is often referred to as the most conservative appellate court in the country. What's the likelihood that the judge's decision will be reversed?
Well, I mean, it is one of the most conservative circuits in the country, and I believe it has as many active judges appointed by Trump as it does have judges appointed by all preceding Democratic presidents. Having said that, this decision is so outside of the bounds of the current law that I am fairly confident that just about any three-judge panel that they draw on the Fifth Circuit is going to reverse this decision.
That's Timothy Jost, a professor at Washington and Lee School of Law, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. And you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nate.
All right. Thank you, John. Futures contracts are modestly higher this morning with S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures ahead by 64. NASDAQ futures up 23 points. The Stock 600 in Europe down nearly 0.25%, but the DAX in Germany is more than 0.25% higher at the moment. Price of the 10-year up 8/32. The yield at 2.82%. Two-year treasuries at 2.66%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.